Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We celebrate the day as a gift from God. Good morning again and welcome to worship on this first Sunday in Lent. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the very first time or if you've just begun attending, we want to extend an invitation to you to become part of our family of faith here, and we hope you will. One way that you can do that is by becoming involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. If you look in your bulletin insert, you'll see lots of ways that you can be part of that. I'm going to lift up a few here. First of all, our Brood Theology meets Wednesday at 6 p.m. If you're a 20 or 30-something looking for community, they'll be meeting at Tennessee Brew Works this Wednesday. If you want to show up 5:30 to 6 and get a drink, and then the conversation starts at 6 p.m. If you want more information, you can find that on Brood Theology Nashville on Facebook. Also, a reminder that we continue our Lenten noon concerts on Thursday. The concert begins at 12, and the lunch is following. If you are coming to lunch, please let us know ahead of time. It's very important. You can either sign up online, or you can call the church and let us know you're going to be here for that lunch. This coming Thursday, oboist Roger Wiesmeyer will be presenting our concert, and I hope you'll be able to join us. It will continue. Those will continue with different persons every Thursday through Lent. Also, on March 12th at 4:30 p.m., we will have our choral vesper service, which is kind of a combination between a concert and a worship service, and I hope you'll be here for that as well. Did you ever say you would do something and then you put it off and put it off and put it off and never got around to it? Or did you ever promise yourself, I am never going to do that, and then you did it anyway? Well, don't feel bad. You're not alone. We're going to talk a little bit about how Paul did exactly the same thing. Stick around.
Today, the Lenten journey begins. Are you ready?
There is so much I still have to do. I am not sure I'm ready.
Let go of those things that keep you from the journey.
Lord, help me look to see the ways in which I have abandoned you.
Come, let us worship and feel the power of freedom in God.
Oh Lord, open our hearts.
Please remain standing and join me in the Collect a Purity. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge that we have our manifold sins and weakness, which we from time to time most previously have committed by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn to thee, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and bring us to the everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words the Scriptures say to all that truly turn to the Lord. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The peace of Christ be with you. Please turn and greet one another in Christian love. Let us pray together the Lenten prayer for illumination. Holy God, Word made flesh, let us hear this word open to your voice. A reading from Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh I am a slave to the law of sin. The word of God for the people of God.
A number of years ago, I was preaching down near Mount Pleasant, Tennessee, and after the service, a young woman came up. This young woman had some visible challenges, and what I didn't realize is that because of those, she was more frank about her response to what had happened in the sermon than other church members would be. And so when she came up to me, she said, "You know what? You're a mess." Now, I honestly think she was saying that what I said amused her, that it was funny in some way, but it was also an indictment because it was true. I'm a mess. And if we all tell the truth, so are you. I don't know if you've been reading our Lenten book, Restored by Tom Berlin, but that's one of the things he focuses on in this first chapter, that how, at some level, all of our lives are messes. They're very messy. Oh, and of course, we put on our face to meet the faces that we meet, and we put up a good show and pretend to be smart and have it together, and inside, we know that that's just not the case for the most part. If you were close enough, you could see my fingernails, and one is long. Some are growing back out, but those on the thumb are bitten into the quick. I've bitten my fingernails all my life, and I can't seem to stop. Now, I've stopped for some of them for periods of time, but then given the right circumstances, I can have all of these things bitten down and bloody. The thing I want not to do is the very thing I do. There was a litany that went on through my whole childhood, and that litany went something like this: stand up straight, stop biting your fingernails. Didn't do any good, apparently, because the thing I hate is the thing I do. Probably a better example in some ways is the fact that when I was growing up, I promised myself I was never going to say those things to my children. And do you know what I hear coming out of my mouth? Those very same things that my parents said to me. The very thing that I hate is the thing that I do. Well, and then the things I want to do, I might see you, and I haven't seen you for a long time, and I'll say, you know, we need to get together. I'll give you a call, or I'll email you, and we'll get together, and I am lying through my teeth. No matter how much I want to see you, no matter how fun it would be, and I know it would be, I'm going to get distracted by other things, and I'm never going to follow up. The very thing I want to do is the thing that I don't do. I want to make that phone call. I want to send that email, and yet, I don't. This is probably the perfect passage for the beginning of Lent, for the first Sunday in Lent, because it describes as well as anything the human condition. We may put on a good show for other people, but we know that when we look inside, we have all kinds of examples of things we hate that we do, and things that we really would like to do that we don't do. And I've shared all I'm going to share of those, all that I can share in public, okay? But you know what they are in your life. There is a great cavity in our lives, and that cavity is like a huge black hole, and we try to fill that. In Lent, we look at that part of ourselves. We turn our gaze inward, and we're honest with ourselves about what a mess we really are most of the time, about how that facade we put up for other people really doesn't represent the fullness of who we are, the fullness that God sees all the time, that we choose during certain seasons and at certain times to gaze upon and be honest about. We catch St. Paul in one of those moments. St. Paul was a guy who really liked to be right. He loved to be right when he was still Saul, before he encountered Jesus, and he loved to be right after he encountered Jesus, and he pretty much thought he always was. If you read the other letters, he has the answer for that problem in the church at Corinth. He is angry with those people in Galatia because of how they have fallen away from his understanding of the gospel. And yet in Romans, we get to see Paul struggling. He struggles with the very fact that everybody does not agree with him. His Jewish neighbors, his own brothers and sisters in the Jewish tradition don't all get that Jesus is the Messiah, the one God sent. And yet he also knows that the God he follows and they follow does not go back on promises, has not written off the Jewish people just because they don't get Jesus. He doesn't understand it. He struggles with it. He even says to his Gentile followers, now don't you be arrogant. Don't think you're better than those Jewish folks who don't get the idea that Jesus is Messiah, because you are a wild olive branch grafted onto a domestic olive tree, and that domestic olive tree is Judaism. And then in this passage, we see St. Paul at his most vulnerable. He's saying things we never thought we would hear him say. He is the guy who thinks he is the smartest most of the time, or at least leaves that impression. He is the guy who thinks he has all the answers most of the time, or at least he leaves that impression. But here, we see him stripped bare. We see him in a Lenten reflection on the fact that he is literally out of control in his own life. He might as well have been standing before a 12-step group saying, I am Paul, I am fill in the blank. The first thing I have to admit is I'm out of control of this thing. I don't control it. The very thing I hate to do is the thing I do, and I can't seem to help myself. The very thing I love and want to do more than anything else in the world, I do not do, and I can't seem to help myself. We see him in the human complexity of his person in ways that we don't get a glimpse of in many of the other letters. It's a confessional mode. And it's amazing that he did this for an entire community to read. This was not a personal letter. This was a letter intended to be read before the gathered communities of the Christians in Rome. And he is being this open and this vulnerable. You see, the bad news is that we're all a mess. We all have this huge black hole that we try to fill with work or alcohol or food or whatever. And it never gets filled. Because like a black hole, anything that goes into it just disappears, is absorbed. It's never filled. And that's what Paul is experiencing here. And he's being just as honest as he can be about it, I think. And that's what our Lenten observance is about. It's one of those seasons. It's a time of our lives when we can look at ourselves and be honest before God that we don't have it all together. We are far from having it all together. That when we look inside ourselves, we know how little we control. And we know that we seem to be under the control of other influences. But then there's the good news. At the very end of this confession, Paul cries out in genuine agony. We've heard him cry out in anger before, at the Galatians, for example. But he's crying out in agony, "Oh, wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death?" He has come to see himself and that black hole within him in its stark reality. The bad news is we've all got that going on. And if we're honest and look inside ourselves, we recognize it. How little control we have. How that person we want to present to the world is really not the person that we know God sees. But immediately after saying that, Paul breaks into praise. "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Praise be to God for Jesus Christ." He knows who delivers him from this body of death. Because when he invites Christ into that emptiness, it's not that he comes in and takes control. It's that he comes and abides in us. That love of God in the flesh comes and lives in our own emptiness, fills part of or all of that which we have experienced as lacking in ourselves, comes as a compassionate friend, comes as a loving presence, comes as someone who recognizes how out of control we are and loves us anyway. When we cry out, "Who will deliver us, O wretched men and women that we are, from this body of death?" The answer is Jesus. I know that seems too simple. I know it does. But that is the answer. So the bad news is we're all a mess. We all have this emptiness. We all have this lack of control. The good news is Jesus comes to us to abide in us and live with us. But the complicating factor is that Jesus brings his friends with him. And who are Jesus' friends? The tax collectors and the prostitutes and the outcasts and those we would look down on and those we would separate ourselves from and those we would judge. Jesus brings those with him, and what we find is we have a whole lot more in common with them than we have ever been willing to admit. That given the right circumstances, we could be in their position and they could be in ours. So when we invite Jesus into our life, it can be a disturbing thing as well as a comforting thing, because we recognize what we have in common with those we judge. For the next couple of days, I'm going to leave after church today, and for the next couple of days at Beersheba, I'm going to be taking part in Board of Ordained Ministry interviews. of persons who are coming as candidates for ministry. Chris is coming this year. Stacy is coming this year. I won't be interviewing them because I know them. I'll be interviewing other people. In effect, knowing that I do those things I hate and I don't do those things I would do, I'm placed in a position of judgment over my colleagues. That's a daunting thing. But if I'm not willing to look at my own brokenness, how can I ever receive theirs? There's a word I learned from being in this process. I didn't know it before. Maybe you did. It's called impression management. And we all try to practice it at one time or another. You only get one chance to make a good impression, right? So we want to manage that impression so that people don't see who we really are. They see who we want them to see. But in Lent, there's no impression management. I have to look into my own black hole of need. I have to look at my own life honestly about what I do that I shouldn't, what I don't do that I should. And hopefully, in humility, look at my brothers and sisters who come to share in this role with compassion, not just judgment. Because you see, when Jesus comes, he wants to bring us all in. He wants us all to be friends. And it doesn't matter how broken we are. Because you see, there are other people who are broken there too. But the door to that happening is our willingness to say, oh, wretched man that I am, oh, wretched woman that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And we all know that the answer is Jesus. We have something going on in the back. Do we need help? We have some physicians on the way here, and we have some other folks back there who can help. Let's let them do their work, since there are folks back there who know what they're doing and how to help. And as they help whatever situation is back there, let's stand and affirm our faith so that as we tell our story, the person in the back can be surrounded by not only our prayers, but our willingness to stand in faith with them. Number 888. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12. And then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad you are here, and we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions that you may have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. You can look for their blue name tags. If you are a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you are invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussions following the late worship service. They will gather in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer request there indicating if they are to be shared or kept confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew, if you have not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of the service. We offer our sympathies and our prayers to Kirk McNeil and his family, who are mourning the death of his brother, Harold Baker McNeil, who died Thursday, March 2nd, in Concord, North Carolina. Services were held there on Saturday. We also keep in our prayers Hank and Polly Jennings, who are mourning the death of Hank's father, Henry S. Jennings, Jr., who died Thursday, March 3rd, in Georgia. Among his survivors are other West End members, Mary Bailey Jennings and Eliza Philippe. Also, we extend our sympathies and prayers to Percy Wilkins, Jr., who died Friday, March 3rd. Services are scheduled for Saturday, March 11th at 2 p.m. Visitation will precede the service beginning at 1 p.m. Among his survivors are West End members, Jenny Wilkins, his wife, Christy Ivy and Melora Turner, Davis Turner, Lee and Virginia Ann Ivy, and Reed and Emily Turner. We will also continue to pray for our sibling in Christ here in this worship service. Now let us extend our tithes and offerings to God in the divine work of drawing in the whole world to God's reign of love and justice.
just so you won't be worrying and so you can keep your mind on the right thing as we receive Holy Communion. An individual fainted on the back row. They came to fairly quickly. We fortunately have numerous medical personnel here who acted immediately to help that individual. An ambulance was called. They're being taken to the hospital to be checked out. It appears that that person will be okay. I want you to know that. And now the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, seated. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who by thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by the one offering of himself, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and didst institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these gifts of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his passion, death, and resurrection, may be partakers of the divine nature through him, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after the supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we, thy humble servants, desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that, by the merits and death of thy Son Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and thy whole church may obtain forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and lively sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. And although we be unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. The body of Christ, broken for you and for the world. The blood of Christ, shed for you and for the world. Let us continue in prayer together. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same, Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to partake of this sacrament of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may walk in newness of life, may grow into his likeness, and may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you are welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. The choir will come first and be served. When they've been served, we invite you to come forward. Please come by way of the center aisle. Go to the pew rail here and kneel at the chancel rail. Extend your hand when you're ready to be served. You will receive the bread first, then the cup. When you've communed, you're welcome to stay for a time of prayer. And when you're ready to return to your seat, we ask that you go back by way of the side aisles. If you need to be served in your pew, you can catch my eye or Lisa's eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and they will let us know, or you will let us know, that you need to be served in your pew. We're happy to serve you there. We receive a communion offering each month, and this month, the communion offering goes to support the Guatemala mission team. They will be going April 22nd through 30th, again, to work with the indigenous Maya people with whom we've worked for a long, long time in Guatemala. We'll have a medical team, we'll have a construction team going, and the offering will help cover the $5,000 donation for medical supplies that the medical team has been asked to provide. If you would like to contribute financially to that, there are two plates next to the front pew. You can leave your offering as you come to communion. My friends, these are the gifts of God for all God's people. Thanks be to God. I failed to say that there is a gluten-free option as well. And you can see Dane over there. If you need a gluten-free option, simply tell your server and we'll be glad to provide that for you. I invite you to stand and join with me in the prayer of thanksgiving. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let us give thanks unto the Lord.
Almighty and most merciful God, from thee comes every good and perfect gift. We give thee praise and thanks for all thy mercies. Thy goodness has created us, thy bounty has sustained us, thy discipline has chastened us, thy patience has borne with us, thy love has redeemed us. Give us a heart to love and serve thee, and enable us our thankfulness for all thy goodness and mercy, by giving up ourselves to thy service, cheerfully submitting in all things to thy blessed will, through Jesus Christ.
Now go forth in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.